Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello everyone, Andy here, and here's what you can look forward to in today's episode.
In today's episode, I was joined by Cam McFarlane and Jarlath Beaton as we preview Week 16 in the NFL. I give my take on Tua's benching.
He's not been good enough in the big moments.
Cam discusses his Eagles' upcoming game against Jarlath's Commanders.
I don't think it'll be a blowout. I can't see it being that.
And Jarlath is predicting a shock win for the Browns as we predict each game winner in Andy versus the guest. Hope you all enjoy.
Absolutely, this just screamed a trap game for the Bills.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Across the Pod NFL podcast. I am, as ever, your host today, Andy Davis, as we are here to preview Week 16 of the NFL season. And with me today, I've got a returning guest with me today on the show. Is one of our resident Commanders fans. It's Jarlath Beaton. Jarlath, how are you?
Did you have to mention that after this season? No, it's all gravy, mate. It's all gravy. Good to be back with you, Andy. Lovely to be back on the podcast again. Not been the greatest of seasons for us this season. But you know what? After last year and everything like that, we sort of had to have a down season, didn't we? But I can't believe it's week 16 already. I can't believe it's Christmas week coming up. Obviously, week 17 will be Christmas week, but I don't understand how we're at that space already. The season's flown by.
It's literally insane. It just feels like yesterday I was talking about the season beginning, and now we're here. First, go on to our week 16 preview, but before we do that, let's head on to the results of Andy versus the guest. So in last week's show, I brought on Dan Faluie, and in this episode, he actually beat me. He got 12 correct scores, whereas I got 11, which means going into week 16, Jarlath, it's level of 6 apiece between Andy and the guest. So you've got a big pressure now to try and beat me.
This is going to be tough, but I'm here for it. Let's go.
Well, it starts off on Thursday night at Seattle host the Rams. Wait a second, John. Can you sense that? Can you feel that? Can you hear that?
Yeah.
I'm sensing an evil presence. Can you hear that at all? Can you feel it?
I can feel it. I can definitely feel it.
It's a Cam McFarlane appears on the show. We've got our Eagles fan against the Commanders for this episode.
No. You were not expecting that, were you, big man?
No, I did not want that. I do not have the facilities for this big man. I have to spend the summer with him on the T20 Blast podcast, so I don't want to have to deal with the winter with him on this as well. Hello, sir. You all right?
Good evening, fella. How are we?
All good, mate. All good. Good to have you with us.
To dash back from a pool comp just to see you, Jarlath. We've had this. Me and Andy have had this in the pipeline for about 3 weeks now, knowing that you were going to be on for this.
I can't believe it. You've both done me like an absolute kipper. Not here for it. No, I am. Come on, let's go.
Cam, how are you?
Really good, mate. Really good, yeah. To be back on having come off the back of a 31-0 win rather than the last couple of weeks with what, let's be honest, was a bit of a shit show, but to put it nicely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've been bailed out by the Cowboys losing to the Vikings. Now it just means 3 games left of the season. it just removes that little bit of tension that, that might be there in terms of winning the division. I think even if the Cowboys had won, I think there still would have been a lot of faith that the Eagles could have, you know, would have won this division. But I still think had the Cowboys beaten the Vikings, I do think there would have been a little bit more tenseness in the air. And I do feel like with the way it's going, I know you beat the Raiders, but who hasn't beat the Raiders this year?
Even we haven't. That's saying something.
who's actually lost to them this year? I've forgotten who's them.
The Patriots have beat have lost to them, which I find crazy considering how the season's been 11-3. They lost to the Raiders week one.
The NFL is a stupid place at times, isn't it? There's all sorts of nonsense happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's but this year in particular, I think, has been the definition of any given Sunday.
Oh, it's basically turned into the championship, hasn't it? Like everyone beats everyone every week.
Absolutely, and for me right now, there isn't a single team where that is going to be in the playoff picture that I can't go, there are flaws in that team and they won't win it. There are plenty of teams in there that can win it, but there are also flaws with pretty much every team right now.
Yeah, it's not like last year where you're looking and going, Eagles and Chiefs.
Yeah.
Are probably going to make the Super Bowl and play each other again. Like this year, I got no faith in anyone, I don't think. But I'm including us in that. My word, we've been awful.
Well, let's go on to Thursday night, which is a game that could have a big impact on the playoffs. And certainly, you know, who has a place in the playoffs as one of the wildcard teams, as the Seahawks host the already qualified for the playoff LA Rams in Seattle. Cam, I'll let you go first. Who wins this game for you?
It's a tight one, this. If it was in LA, regardless of the fact that they don't really have any home fans, but and it's still an away game for them every time that they play there, I'd still fancy them more. But in Seattle, noisy, cold outside. I think the Seahawks nick it. I think it's a scrappy defensive performance to win it, but I think they just steal it.
I kind of agree. I've got the same Seahawks. I think if the Rams hadn't secured the playoffs, I would have maybe put my horses on maybe the Rams winning in Seattle. But I just think purely for this week only, they might take their feet off the gas slightly. I think next week onwards, they'll be absolutely fine. They're still my pick to win well, the NFC and the Super Bowl. But I think for 1 week only...
They're always in the good points up, aren't they? They're one of the team.
Mm. Yeah, they'll be right in there. And I do think that for a week only, the hype of winning the division, it's all slightly in celebration mode, but while focusing on the rest of the season, I think as a one-off game, just after that happened, away as well, not at home, on the road to a team that's got great defense. I know they didn't show too much last week, but I think, you know, this team is a good Seahawks team, and I think they'll get the win here. Jarlath, clean sweep?
If we go clean sweep, then we all know what we have to do then. If you're going to have a bet, and that's bet the Rams.
The Rams with everything you have.
The problem I've got is that while you're both making very, very sound points, and the Rams did beat the Seahawks, remember, earlier in the season, so 21-19, the thing is in that game is that McDonald's was open for business. He threw four picks. And in big matches, I've yet to see Sam Darnold, both with the Vikes. Obviously, we know what happened towards the back end of last season. And in this game as well, in that game against the Rams early this season, I've yet to see Darnold take over a game. Now, obviously, they've still got Jackson Smith and Jigba, the top wideout in the league this season. Also, as well, I think the biggest problem for that Seattle offense is they don't know what to do with both Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. If you're going to make K-9 the main running back, do that. Don't do this running back by committee. And I'm saying this because I have them both in my fantasy team and I need to know which one to start. But on a serious note, right?
That's the only reason. 100%.
But on a serious note.
Especially as you're playing me this week in the playoffs.
I am. That's why it's also going to be very interesting. But that Seattle defense, man, that Seattle defense is absolutely outstanding. It can create turnovers. It can create pressure. It can do everything. I normally have this rule that you back the home team on Thursday night. And I know what you're saying as well, Andy, about the fact that maybe the Rams might be taking it a little bit easier, but that NFC West is up for grabs now. You've got three teams in there, obviously with the Niners as well, who are right in the mix. They can still win the division. So I think that in order to win the division, you've got to go into Seattle and win as well. Because like you say about the NFC Championship and Super Bowl pick, if they go into Seattle, one of the toughest places in the NFL, and get the W, that for me could put me to play to place the Rams as my as the preeminent favorite for the Super Bowl. That's how big this game is. But yeah, sod it. I'm going with them. Going with the Rams.
Yeah, I think I can see that. I can see what you're saying. And like, it is one of those where it's a big game, this. And I just backing all on that. I'm not backing Donald, but I'm backing that defense that it feels like 2012, 13, 14, 15. It feels like Legion of Boom again, almost. Mm. It is that good. And that's all I'm hanging my hat on. But mainly because I think there's more chances of ending up above the Seahawks than the Rams. If we've still got a chance, I think we're done on number one now anyway, to be honest. But
well, you mentioned fantasy football. We actually have results of our first of two charity fantasy leagues we've done this year. And the guests league has been finished this week. And it was once again won by guest Sam Moore, who beat Keg in the championship final. Now, there was a little bit of controversy because I kind of kept the settings as they were. I didn't change them. I thought, keep them as they are. I'm not an expert on fantasy. Just keep it as it is. And for some reason, the playoffs started in week 13, which I didn't realise until it was too late, basically. And I couldn't then change at the start of week 15. And as a result, we had David Figgins.
Don't get Jarla started on the rules of fantasy football and the format.
We've still got 15 games to preview. I haven't got that time.
But David, he actually went unbeaten in regular season, but he had McCaffrey on a bye in week 14 and he lost to Sam. So, David, if you're listening, I do apologise. So, David might have been the winner in this, but we did end up with a winner and it was Sam Moore's. And his chosen charity, the National Autistic Society, will get the £105 of the pot going towards them. And that's been donated. And now we've got £145 to give in the listeners. Charity League, which I actually bowed out of in the last round, just by having the third, I believe it was the third highest score in the entire playoffs at that round. So left, we have Harrison against Tim Rudge, and we have Andrew Manning against, don't know his name, he's put down Waddling in, and the winners of these four games will go down in the final with four charities to play for. But talking to play for, let's move on to kind of the main event, Friday night, which is... I could have sworn normally it was like two or three games on the last Saturday before Christmas, but we've got one this week, this year, and it's in Washington as the Commanders host the Eagles. Big game. I was hoping for a better game when I planned this whole plan of getting you both on for the game, and I saw they were, you know, two of the last 3 weeks and how it was last season. I was hoping for a bit more of a more to play on this game than maybe what we've got now. So thank you, Commanders, for that. But Jarlath, we'll go to you first. Who wins it for you?
Well, this is going to say, obviously, I'm going to try and back my team as much as I possibly can. But the biggest thing is that the injuries have obviously cost us. There's also been awful, awful play calling for the defensive side of the ball that has cost us all season. But the NFC East is a weird beast, right? This is why. Because no matter what happens, Dallas always played Washington hard. Philadelphia always plays Dallas hard. New York always plays Philadelphia hard. And Washington always plays Philadelphia hard. There are just random results in this that there are just certainties in life when it comes to the NFC East. And as much as Philly have probably got the division wrapped up, this is a big moment here for Dan Quinn and for the entirety of that Washington front office. Because if they get pumped here, and they could do, because aside from the struggles from the Philadelphia offense, they still have a world-class offense, still got Saquon, still got AJ, still got Devonta, still got Dallas Goedert, and Jalen Hurts can obviously beat you with his legs and through the air, depending on what the play call script is. But if they get pumped here, and then they go up to Philly and get pumped, depending obviously on whether Philly need to win the division at that point, this is a big moment for him. Because if he gets hammered here in the last 3 weeks, I fear for his job. I know that sounds weird after just taking him to an NFC Championship game, but I fear for his job. Having said that, I also fear that Northwest Stadium will be full of Eagles fans. It normally is about 50-50. When they're really bad, it's about 75-25, because Philly fans, they travel well. They always have done. And I fear it could be very similar, like a 70-30 split this time around, because the Commanders fans will just not show up. It's a 5 o'clock game on a Saturday night. You've got college football playoff as well going on, and it's going to be cold. You know, they don't need to be watching it. Obviously, Jaden being sat now for the year doesn't help. But Marcus Mariota has played okay. He's just been okay, but a very good backup quarterback. I want to say that there's a way that the Commanders can win this game. I just don't see it. But I think it's going to be closer than most people think. I mean, the line at the moment's got Philly by a touchdown. I think if I was having a bet on this, I probably would take the Commanders to cover just. But I don't, because I just don't think that the offense in Philly is clicking at the moment. But if it does click into gear, this could be a 3-4 score game. Like, let me put that out there. Like I say, I think Philly wins it, and I'm going to say they win it by about 4 in a very low-scoring contest. I'm going something like 17-13 or something like that. I just don't think it's going to be that great a game. That's personally my thoughts.
You know, I thought you were going to go Commanders. I thought for a second when you first started kind of going through your reasoning, I was kind of thinking, is he going to go for Commanders? But then
I want to badly, but there's just no possible path that I can see for this is
Jonathan Eaton curse in full effect here. He will not pick his own team because he knows for a fact that he will lose if he does.
Correct. How it works. Always.
Cam, I mean, if a Commanders fan is saying they'll lose, I'm sure you'll be saying your team's going to win, right?
Yeah, I'm not getting away from winning this. I think the biggest thing is, we win this game, we secure the division. Because of Dallas lose, like, if Dallas had won in against Minnesota on Monday night, then it's a very different game. And there's not really any meaning to this game at that point, other than, yes, we need a win. But to clinch the division, I think, is not good for Washington. Although, it might help Dan Quinn, because if he gets pumped here and we win the division, there's a very good chance that he plays against our backups in the final game of the season. Then all of a sudden, you win the final game of the season, everyone's all happy and go, oh, look how good we looked in this final game. So it might even help him by getting beat this week. But yeah, I just can't see it. Special agent Mariota, quarterback as well, from the Eagles previously to off to Washington. He'll be throwing the ball to us like he was when he played for us.
Shout, to be fair, it's a good shout.
No, he won't. I still think he's probably the best backup quarterback in the league. Like, he's top class and gives you a chance of in this game that if most teams running in with a backup quarterback wouldn't have. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I can't see it being that, but I think we get into a lead early and then just manage the game from there. And I do think we'll just about cover the touchdown, but maybe I think 21-13.
Just before we go on this, because I'm pretty sure we've got a lot more games to cover, I just want to look at the rushing defense from the Philadelphia Eagles, right? They're giving up about 125, 126 yards a game, whereas Washington's offense on the ground is fourth in the NFL in terms of running games. And I appreciate game script comes into that because of the fact that we have had a backup quarterback for most of the year, but still 137 a game.
Yeah, that's, and a backup quarterback that can run the ball as well. Like,
he's gone over 30 yards in about 5 or 6 of the games so far.
That's your bet right away there, is the Mariota.
Yeah, absolutely take the over on that. I think that's the only path to victory is control the clock, control the time of possession, run the ball, get that defense tired, and they may have a chance of winning the game. But again, like, I just can't see it.
It's happened to us a couple of times in those losses recently.
Like Chicago, that's the big one.
Like, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that is your opportunity. I think that's why it will stay close, but I think I've got the by 8. I think just about cover the spread.
Yeah, I mean, it's a clean sweep for me. I've gone for the Eagles winning. I think the Commanders looked poor when Daniels was playing. So when he's not playing, I just see no other way the Eagles don't win this game. And what would be the, you know, what would be the first time since the early noughties when a team will win back-to-back NFC East, which is a bit of history there. And I see your Mariota being the best backup in the league, and I raise you Mac Jones at the Niners.
It's absolute handoff central there. I'm not having that.
Well, the best backup...
If you gave Mariota Christian McCaffrey in his backfield, he'd look like a top 10 starting quarterback in the league.
I think with that, yeah. you could probably get him, you could probably make a case that the Washington team get into the wild card with that.
Yeah.
Do you have a chance at least anyway of it?
I'm not having Mac Jones, I'm sorry.
Well, the best backup could now be Tua Tagovailoa. He's been benched for the
Dolphins. He's not even backup.
He's not even QB2. He's QB3. I think Alexa, play Cool in the Gang celebration. He's finally not playing a game for us. I think this is the end. I think it sort of felt like the end a little bit. Now, I don't think it's the end necessarily this season, because I think the contract is on ridiculous. I think either take the hit for 1 year and just get rid of his contract early, or you just bat out for a year and have someone else starting who can be competent for a year. But either way, he just does feel like the end. Certainly is him as a Dolphin starter, which, you know, is a shame, because when he drafted him, I was very excited about it. All the college highlights I'd watched of him, I was really excited. And when we picked him in COVID, I watched it before work and I was jumping up on my sofa, thinking we got the guy for our future, and it hasn't worked out. He had one good season, really, and he's only stayed fit for 1 year. Actually, two years. He's been fit for this year as well, but yeah, it's not been a person that I've really been warm to the quarterback. I think everyone who's listened to the show regularly will know my views on Tua. Never really been really big fan of his since the moment really I saw him playing regular NFL football for the Dolphins. But yeah, and it's a shame because, you know, he has had a lot of injuries, and I won't lie, when I was in the room when he had his press conference after the game, he looked, something between the eyes didn't look quite right, and I do worry about him moving forward, just as a general health reasoning. But yeah, it hasn't been great. A few good moments here and there. You had the Ravens win, the comeback win in 2022. You had obviously that 2023 season, which is by far the best I've seen as a fan in all my 15 years being a fan. The best season I've witnessed is that one. Had some good wins there. But overall, there's not been good enough in the big moments. We are, I believe, 0-14 in cold weather games that are below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And we've only beaten, I think, two teams with winning records since he was a starting quarterback. So yeah, it's a shame. I think that we actually recorded the episode with Daisy Edwards prior to the Steelers' loss. If you haven't already, do check it out, our Week 15 review. What an awful performance that was. The second half especially. First half was actually decent, I thought. It was pretty defensively solid. You know, only 1 point behind, and we were 6-3 up. Either 6-3 or so. We were up in the game anyway towards the end of the second quarter. But then, second half, minus 20 yards, it's just not good enough. And some of the decision-making from McDaniel, to kind of take your time with plays in the start of the fourth quarter, and then towards the end, you start taking timeouts to try and... It just felt all wrong, and I felt like this was, for me, even more damning on McDaniel than maybe it was on Tua. But either way, going to this game itself, I have got Bengals winning. I just think that Quinn Ewers, I never watched him in college. He could be good for, I know, and he was on the cover of the college football game, so he's got to have some sort of talent to be on the front cover of that game.
Yeah, I think you've got to see what he's got at this point, haven't you? Like, I think there's no sense in still playing to it at this point.
Absolutely not.
I do think means that there is probably no way back for him. Mm. But you've got to see what you've got with Quinn Ewers. It's because you keep doing the same thing with Tua. Like, the season's gone anyway. You might as well run him out and see what he's got. And it might just be a little bit of a spark. It might be the fact that nobody's seen him play before, and it might give him that opportunity to go out there and play. But yeah, with Tua, I think Bama did the wrong thing, and so did the Dolphins. You could have had Jalen Hurts, but both of them, and took the wrong man.
And we could have had Justin Herbert. We could have even got Joe Burrow if we tanked properly. And speaking of Burrow, actually, you know, I think that this offense is going to be far too good. Actually, the defense has been pretty good. I say this, but the defense has been pretty good. And I think their defense could, they could allow us to score points, but I just don't know what I'm going to get with Quinn Ewers or Zach Wilson if he gets brought in. So I'm going for the Bengals win. And I want to say as well, quick thing on this. I over the years, I've been slated a lot by people who have been saying I'm too negative on Tua. And there's certain people I know, and they know who they are if they're listening, even call me out being not a real fan. If I was criticising 2-1 now, I think I was proved
vindicated, right. I think, finally.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not negative. It's about reacting to what you see on the field. The problem is,
like, the guy is not good enough. He's been in a bad situation. He's not been protected particularly well.
No.
He's lost some of his weapons, but he's still got one of the top receivers in the league in Jalen Waddle there. He's got a top-class tight end. He's also got probably one of the best running backs in the league.
Jarvis is doing some crazy penguin impressions.
Yep.
I love him.
I don't think the line's particularly good, but it doesn't. At the end of the day, sometimes you've got to overcome those things if you're going to be an NFL quarterback, and he's not been able to do it. So, yeah, I think it's just being realistic. I don't think you're being negative on him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I think you could have battered him a lot earlier than you did, really.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I did say after the first game, I texted a mate of mine, Dan Mitchell, saying this guy could be a bust after the first game.
Okay, maybe you went slightly early.
But you're not wrong in the sense that, again, just to go back to Waddle, like I remember watching that game in particular with LSU, 45-41, with all those stars, Joe Burrow, Tua. There was a couple of other, JJ. The list would go on and on and on. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire as well. Load of people on the Alabama side as well that I'm just forgetting at this point. And I just blowed away by the speed. And I think actually, Andy, when we were in Madrid and we were watching that game, he didn't have his best game. I'm not saying he did, but I was blown away by the speed that he showed. He was absolutely outstanding. And then you said about Quinn Ewers. The big thing about Quinn Ewers is obviously, this is the problem I always have with quarterbacks, especially if they have just maybe one good season or a couple of good seasons. They get hyped up to this amazing level. And he obviously reached the college football playoff semifinal last year, lost to the eventual champions at Ohio State in a really, really tough game. Lost to Georgia, though, in the SEC championship and lost twice. I mean, looking at his stats from last year, 65.8% completion percentage, nearly 3,500 yards, 31 touchdowns. That Texas team looked good. I'm not saying it didn't, but you have to see what you've got with him.
If you ever want a game to make your debut as well, this Bengals defense, I mean, if you can't cut these boys up, then you might be struggling in to have a career.
Well, they are 32nd in the league, so you need to be cutting them up. And obviously as well now that they were in the playoff picture. You know, they're in the AFC North race for about a week after they beat the Ravens on Thanksgiving. And now they're out of it again. Do you sit Burrow now as well at this point?
I mean, he looks like he's done anyway when you see his press conferences at the moment. He does not want to be out on that field. There were a few players against the Ravens last week where I watched it and just thought, this is just checked out on him. He's just strolled over to the side and thrown the ball away. He's not even attempted to go through his reads. He's just gone, first one's not there, not bothered, just going to throw it away. I'm making sure I don't get hit here, because he's making business decisions right now. He's not.
Yep.
So
100%.
I like Miami in this game.
I do too.
Yeah. I think as well, you mentioned Burrow quickly. I mean, I think personally, I can see a world where he either doesn't Andrew Luck and retires, or he moves on. I think there's one team I've been earmarking. People have talked about the Vikings. I think there's one team that do have a draft pick via the Falcons, 10th overall, the Rams. And I think personally, if the Rams win it, like I think they're going to win it this year, I can see Stafford going into the sun and sort of ending his career. I mean, what more of a seamless transition than you have in that?
Burrow with those weapons.
Exactly. I think for him, he can't go to a team where he hasn't got the protection, because that's the reason why he probably wants out for Cincy.
Yeah.
And I think the Rams, if you've got a team who's got, you know, such a great young team as well, and a great head coach, I think, personally...
Will they sell the farm again, though?
But they've got 10th overall pick. And if he wants to leave, then
I think you're talking two this year and two ones the next 2 years as well. I think you're talking four first rounders if you want Burrow.
But, But mate, if you've got Nacua, you've got Devontae on one side. You've obviously got Kyron Williams and Blake Corum. Corum, by the way, is going to be an absolute stud. I've seen him in Michigan for years, a couple of years now, before he obviously got into the NFL. And that defense is still frightening. Like, if I'm Rams, I'm going F them picks, especially because where is Super Bowl 61 being held? SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, if you want to come straight back, don't you?
Absolutely.
And of course, when they last won the Super Bowl in that stadium, their own stadium, they also went by the F them picks method. And I think they've proved that, they've been living proof that you can give away all the draft picks to get a Super Bowl, and you can then still
rave about the head coach forever about it, even though he got basically gifted the best roster in the league.
Well, that's another topic for another day. We'll move on to what I think personally is my favourite NFL game every year. It's Packers-Bears at Soldier Field.
It's better than ever as well, isn't it?
What's really interesting about this is the fact that I come back to the game on week 6 on Monday Night Football this year where we had the fumble, where Jaden fumbled a ball on 3rd-and-1 to win the game, and now the Bears have gone on this ridiculous run. In the same breath, obviously, what happened, and we've obviously tanked. Same way what happened with the Hail Mary last year. We obviously won the game.
Absolutely,
and then they completely lost the plot. Out of interest, by the way, I'm looking at the schedule, and obviously on the app that I'm using, you can actually look at how much the tickets are. Now, normally tickets for most games this weekend, you can get tickets for about $80, maybe $50, maybe even $30. If you want to get a ticket for this game.
This time of the year, when there's not much on it. I assume these are in well into four figures and the rest.
No, but tickets are as low as 350, which is still comfortably the highest game.
Actually, that's one ticket on its own in the gods.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I have a strange feeling about this game because obviously we saw it 2 weeks ago. And this isn't me trying to protect Daniels when I say I'm still not completely sold on Caleb Williams.
But I'm not sold on Jordan Love either.
No, I agree. Both quarterbacks can absolutely start firing, but both quarterbacks can also turn the football over. Yeah. So you look at the Packers averaging about 225 a game through the air. Chicago averaging 217. I think the biggest thing here is the rushing attack. The Chicago Bears, I don't know what happened to Kyle Mongonui last week. I don't know why. I mean, I'm grateful because I had both him and Swift in my fantasy team again. I've handcuffed both of them. And the fact that I put Swift in at 543, great stuff.
I think they just decided to keep riding Swift because he was playing out of his skin.
Well, this is the thing, right? You know, you look at the Packers running the attack, 117 yards on the ground. Chicago's averaging nearly 152 yards a game. But they lost to the Packers. But they always lose to the Packers in Lambeau. That's just how it works. I think if the Bears win this game, then, well, obviously the NFC North race is over anyway. But as a side note, I think that the NFC playoff picture is set. All we need to do is work out the seedings. I think there's no way the Lions, there's no way... The Cowboys are going to get in there. There's also no way the Panthers will get in there unless they win the NFC South. This is really tight. But the line at the moment says Chicago 1.5. I think that's about right. 46.5 points is stupid. I think that's far too high.
Yeah, I can't see it going that high either.
Especially in the frozen area of Chicago. I think I trust that Packers defense without Micah Parsons as well because he's done for the year.
That's the big point for me. That's where I'm making my decision.
I think I think that Packers team is still very, very good, but I think I'm going to go with the Bears. If Parsons hadn't done his ACL, which is a crying shame, by the way, for the season he was having, I'd have probably gone the Packers. But no, I'll pick the Bears. It's going to be tight, though.
Yeah, I've gone for Bears as well. I think, the Bears lost to the Packers last year when the Packers didn't have Parsons on the team. But at the same time, the Bears weren't on 10 wins like they are now. So I do think that, it's in Chicago as well. I think the Packers, I still think there's a spot open for the Lions. I think the Packers have got to be careful. If they lose to the Bears in this game and the Lions win their game in week 16 as well, that will bring, I believe, both teams level on wins or at least level on losses. So I think that opens up the entirely. I think this Packers team has still got enough, but I just think in this game, and I think the Bears, you know, have been, you know, had an underwhelming loss recently, but got back to winning ways against an easy opponent. I back them to win. I think there's a good vibe in Chicago right now. It's one of the best Bears teams I've ever seen, apart from maybe...
Not difficult.
Let's be honest. You've got the...
That's a low bar.
You've got that one team that made it 2018, the double doink year. But apart from that, I don't think that's cool.
2010 was the only real team that I remember.
We talked more about the double down gear. That was great, yeah.
2010 was the last time they actually won a playoff game, I'm pretty sure. Wasn't it? When they went to make the NFC Championship game. When it was BJ Raji picking off Jay Cutler in the end zone.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, that I loved. I wish I watched the NFL at that time more, apart from just highlights. I'd love to have watched live a Packers Bears NFC Championship. That would have been
insane. It was really good. Just before we go on, sorry, Cam, I just want to shout out about the Bears, talking about their offense. 369 yards a game on offense. That's the fifth best in the league.
Yeah.
Going to be tough to stop with that pass. Sorry, yeah. Man, carry on.
Yeah, very much so. I'm with you. I'm making a clean sweep. I'm taking the Bears to win this one as well. I think, luckily for Micah, he doesn't need an ACL to be able to do his podcast, so I'm sure he'll be all right still. But
I do like that backfield, though, for the Packers in terms of the secondary. I like Xavier McKinney. I like Carrington Valentine. I like...
They're a good side, no doubt. They're a good defense without him, but it just elevated them a little bit more by having that threat. And without that there, I just think the Bears will squeak it, but I think it's close. I think it's really, really close.
Yeah, exactly. Apologies for listeners in advance for this joke. Cam, you mentioned riding Swift, and speaking of which, the Chiefs take on the Titans.
Oh, dear.
Wonderful segue.
That's fabulous, to be honest. It's almost like the fourth and inches group chat all over the day.
There are things you can
basically
say.
That's a conversation, I think.
I'm going for the stunner. I'm going for the Titans win. Purely because Minshew's playing quarterback, and I think the Chiefs, they're out of the playoffs now.
I won't have any Minshew slander on here. We're not.
Have you watched Minshew, the Titans this season? I know you do the podcast, but have you watched it?
To be honest, the Titans have looked better in recent weeks.
They've looked worse.
I just think right now, momentum's at an all-time low for the Chiefs. They're not making the playoffs now, so I think the Cam's desire to win probably isn't there. And the way it's been pretty awful the last few weeks. If Mahomes is there, I think
it tends to be more than they've been eliminated. Because listening to Chris Jones the other day, he didn't realise until he got told. He
got listened to Ron Rivera 2 years ago after we lost to, who was it, the Browns, wasn't it? He was like, got eliminated, did we? Yep. I mean, who cares about this game now? I do actually.
It's a very nothing game, isn't it?
I only care because the Chiefs dynasty, at least for 1 year, is done. After seeing the Patriots for the best part of the decade in the 21st century, and then the Chiefs, it's nice to have someone else to have a go. The line still is -3.5 for KC, and I still think that's far too low because I just don't rate the Titans. I know Campbell has been playing better, but they're still not great. The over-under, by the way, is 37.5. That's too low, even with Minshew quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually think that goes comfortably over that, to be honest.
Yeah. No, Chiefs will still win this for me. I think this is a really important moment for Andy Reid because it will depend on what does he want to do. He won three Super Bowls in, what, four, 5 years. He's won three Super Bowls in 5 years. He's made another two in the last, you know, in 6 years or whatever. I think there's only been one Super Bowl between 54 and 59 that the Chiefs haven't been involved in, and that was Super Bowl 56. So,
yeah,
it's a big moment for him because does he want to hang on? Does he want to try and rebuild?
Well, that's it. Is he at the stage of his career where he's thinking, I'm a coach that's here for a rebuild? Like, I could see him maybe going somewhere else and having a year where he's got a roster that he thinks he could win with. But I don't think he's there for 4 or 5 years of rebuilding and trying to get back up to the top. I don't think that's where he's at right now. And I don't think, to be honest, with what he's done in the game, I don't think he should be either. I don't think he's a coach that you should be putting in that position. So, yeah, I think I'd be rocking off into the sunset. But Yeah, I've got the Chiefs winning this game as well. Bit of Minshew magic. I'm going to have them winning it by 7 with a touchdown drive at the end from Minshew to take them over the line.
Okay, well, moving on to our next game, which is a big game for the NFC South, and it is the feature of our cover graphic on this episode. It's Panthers against Bucks.
I'm gutted, by the way. Sorry to interrupt that. I'm gutted that this is not in Tampa Bay, because I land in Florida at 5 o'clock on Saturday. If this was in Tampa Bay, or from Orlando, I would be driving the hour down to Raymond James.
100%. You'd have to,
100%. 100%. So, yeah. Sorry to interrupt, mate.
Oh, it's all good. I mean, I could say Jacksonville aren't also home. The only team that are home in Florida this weekend are the Dolphins. But
get yourself down to Miami, son.
What, for a four-hour game? A four-hour drive to watch the Bengals against the Dolphins?
Absolutely.
No chance.
Burrow, you know, Chase. Quinn Ewers.
No.
Isn't doing it for me, son.
I mean, last weekend was mental for NC South. I mean, yeah, the Buccaneers losing to the Falcons, then the Panthers failed to capitalize against the Saints. So they play each other as well through the last three games. So this is like, I think, as you mentioned, the NFC picture really is only really for me personally, who win left to decide. It's only really who makes it out of the Lions, Packers, Bears, and those two wildcard spots. No, the two spots out of the, you know, so the one wildcard spot and the division winner spot, and then you've got, you know, this thing, who's going to win the NFC South. So it is one of the most crucial games of the weekend. I'd be shocked if this wasn't the Sky Sports game on Sunday.
It is the Sky Sports game on Sunday.
It is, right. Yeah, I mean, it has to be, right?
It's game on the line up for the season here right now.
Yeah, I agree. And Cam, who wins it for you?
I'm backing Baker to get it done.
Interesting. I've gone Panthers. I just think that what I've seen from the Buccaneers this last month and a half has been, it's been awful. They've lost, I won't say 6 of the last 7. It's been a crazily bad run of form, and Panthers have been sort of going an upper trajectory. I know they lost to the Saints last week, but they've been pretty good this last month. And I think the way momentum is, at a time of year where that does matter, teams, you know, can get in these ruts, or they can get in these great momentums. And I just think right now it's in Carolina as well. I don't know how much of a home advantage it is to play in Carolina, but I think even without that being a factor, I still think the momentum is really high with the Panthers right now, despite the loss. You know, and they almost would have got a boost from the Bucks losing, because they kind of, you know, would have viewed that as a free hit, because they know they've still got to play the Buccaneers twice. So, yeah, I'm going for the Panthers to win. But, you know, again, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bucks win. I think it's one of those ones where if I'm wrong, I wouldn't be completely shocked.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, either way that I see this, or if it ends up in a tie, I would not be shocked at any of the three outcomes.
Can you imagine a tie? Yeah, that would really make that
one. Leave it on to the last week.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
That would be the Sunday night football game, I can guarantee you, here and now. Yeah. Unless something stupid happens. The Sunday night football game to determine
it might be anyway, because they could both want, whoever wins it this week could end up losing next week, and then it leaves them in the same position anyway. But yeah, a tie would be obvious.
But regardless, I think that'll be the Sunday night football game, week 18. Will be Panthers Bucks for the division. That's my early prediction.
It's a shame because you've got Chargers Broncos, there's a 2-win gap, probably unlikely. Colts Texans, if the Colts hasn't lost Daniel Jones, maybe that would have been it. But you know, it's a shame that you haven't got Lions against Packers or anything like that. The only one I can see rivaling it is either Seahawks Niners, if they're both trying to get, you know, a wild card spot, or the one I think could be it is Ravens Steelers. That's the only one I can see potentially being, because they're, you know, one win difference, but that could be different by the time it gets to week 18. So I think they're the kind of two games I think
one of Panthers, Bucks, and Steelers, Ravens will be on the Saturday night on ESPN.
Yeah.
And I think one of those games, the other game will be flexed into Sunday night football. There's no way ESPN will get both of them. But I think one of those will be flexed into Sunday night. 100%.
But Jareth, we'll go to you. Are you going Panthers or are you going Bucks?
Again, looking at lines, I like looking at lines and spreads, Andy. That's my sort of looking to determine what I want to do with this. Over-under's 45.5, which I find interesting. I think that might be just a tad too high, but it's right on the bubble. I think the odds make it that one, right? I don't think that Tampa Bay minus three is a good line. I'd happily take the Panthers to cover that at that front. I think this comes down to defense for me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has been woeful in the past few weeks. I think they're towards the bottom end of the league now, actually. They are, what are they, the 25th in the league or 24th in the league, total defense. And I think this is a big moment for Carolina too, because their owner has been absolutely tossed around like a rag doll in terms of how rubbish he's been and all the rest of it. And David Tepper, since obviously Dan Snyder left the building. And I also think that this is the first time that Carolina's had a real chance of doing something into going into a postseason since that magic Super Bowl run in 2015. So I think the Panthers fans will show up here. And I think that might help them. I think at home, I like the Panthers. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think either way, it's an exciting game. I can't wait for it. Probably the most I've ever been excited for a Panthers best game. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's a cracking game. I hope it's on our station in our region in Orlando. I think it will be, because obviously Tampa's not too far down the road. Yeah, so hopefully Fox will be covering that.
I think they will. I think they will. A few games I think are probably not worth talking about too much. We've got the Browns hosting the Bills, we've got the Saints hosting the Jets, and you've got the Giants hosting the Vikings. I've gone for wins for the Bills, the Saints, and the Vikings. I think Bills are way too strong, even with that defense in Cleveland. I think the Jets, I just don't, their quarterback, Brady Cook, I don't see anything in him that I think is by me. They can win any games with him in the center. And the Saints have improved in recent weeks. Giants, Vikings. If it wasn't for last week, I maybe would have leaned more towards the Giants, but I was impressed with what I saw from the Vikings and that Cowboys win. But yeah, that's my three I'm going to go for. Jarla, we'll go back to you. Who wins these three games for you?
Saints win this against the Jets for me. Easy pick. $14, by the way, if you want to go and watch that game. So there's that. New York against the Giants against the Vikings. Yeah, probably just about pick nine in the Vikings. I think since he's come back, I've actually quite liked the look of McCarthy. I think he's just starting to get there. What he needs to do is get Jefferson JJ involved more, because if he doesn't, he will be off. JJ is not a happy bunny. Now, this is where I get a little bit...
No, don't do it.
Here's my thinking. This is an absolute... This just screams a trap game for the Bills. Because Myles Garrett, I don't rate the offensive line for the Bills. I never have done. And Josh Allen is best when he's able to get out of the pocket and scramble. But Myles Garrett, he will break the sack record in this game.
He'll probably do it in this game.
I promise you that.
I still don't think it's enough to overcome the rest of the problems.
But the Browns' defense has only given up 280 yards a game. It's their offense that's been the problem. They're only giving up 280.
I still don't see it being enough to overcome that.
Yeah, but the Browns are the best passing. Only giving up the best passing defense in the league. They're only giving up 169. I appreciate a lot of them is also because of game script and they've not been in game, so I understand that. But yeah, against the rush, they're giving up 110.
And you can just lean on James Cook.
Yeah, 110 yards a game. I think that the line's far too high. I mean, Buffalo's minus 10 right now. I'd happily take the Browns to cover that, because I genuinely am worried that this is a trap game. I genuinely think this could be a trap game for the Bills, especially after that they beat the Patriots as well, thinking they're back in the AFC East race. Over under 42.5, I think that's about right. Nah, Sonic, go on. I'll pick the Browns.
Wow,
you're on your own.
That's
there,
fine. So. That's fine. I think it's a trap.
I'm backing on you.
I think minus 10 for the Bills, far, far, far too high. Give me the Browns to cover at least 100%.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills, the Saints, and the Vikings. And I'm not even questioning any of them. Just if there was any value in backing them, I'd be all over it, but there won't be.
I think you get some decent value on at least the Browns. You know, give me a touchdown, I'll take that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shudders, Bobbins. Like.
Yeah, but they've still got Quishon Judkins against that Bills rushing defense. And that rushing defense is not good.
Yeah, but he's not been as good the last couple of weeks either, though.
I worry this is a trap game for him. I really do.
Yeah, for me, it's a weird thing for me where I don't want the Bills winning any games, but I also don't want the Patriots winning the division. So for me, it's like
it's a proper catch 22 of like, who do I hate the least here?
My enemy's enemy is my friend.
That's it.
Oh, watching that game last week, I was just ridiculously. I'm thinking, I wanted a tie, basically. I didn't want either team winning it. But I was thinking,
bought the tie and the refs, like that's.
As long as both teams lose, then we're all good. Yeah. That's how it works.
I'll support the game being abandoned for bad weather or something, and have to watch it.
Who's the winner? The NFL.
Football's always the winner.
Football is always the winner. We know this.
Always. The final game of our 6 p.m. slate is in Dallas as the Cowboys host the Chargers. I'm going to go for the Chargers win. I think the Cowboys have been really good this season. Well, not really good. They've been better than I thought they'd be this year. You know, Pickens have been amazing. The defense has done well. It's improved a lot since the start of the season from when he lost Micah Parsons.
Still 29th in the league is all I'm going to say.
Still 29th. Yeah. Wow, I thought they'd be
still 29th in the league. That's how bad this defense is. You talk about the Bengals defense. Cowboys defense is generationally bad.
I thought it didn't seem quite as bad as 29th. I know Kenny Clark died. I just felt like it was maybe not as bad as that. But you know, I'm obviously wrong. But that's blown my mind. But I think even if they're playing well, I think this Chargers team, who you know, is the Chargers for a reason. They can find a way to lose games when they aren't expected to lose them. But I'm backing them to win this. I think there was, you know, obviously they could have been a lot better against the Chiefs, but I think for them it's all about just getting the win against the Chiefs, a team that, you know, has punished them in recent years, has been kryptonite to them and the Broncos in that division. So I think for them it's all about just getting the win, no matter what the performance was. So I'm going to go for the Chargers win against this Dallas team. Cam, who wins it for you?
Yeah, you can pick holes in the Chargers, and there's plenty of them, but they're still 10-4. Like, and that's, they seem to just be able to overcome the holes that they've got. And yeah, I have zero faith in this Dallas team doing anything. The quarterback's not good enough. Most of the team's not good enough. They've got some good weapons on offense. The defense is absolutely bobbins, and they're lucky to be 6-7-1, to be honest. I think they're a worse side all round than probably the Commanders are, but they have managed to overcome that a little bit. I see no way that they even get... Well, it will be close because the Chargers keep every game close, but they'll never actually get close enough to win it.
No. See, I disagree. I've always disagreed with you on that, Prescott, this year. Not necessarily...
Like, everyone's giving it all this MVP talk about him. It's utter nonsense. He's not even got a winning record. He's not even got a better passer rating than Jalen Hurts, who apparently is a running back, according to everyone in the league.
Well, here's the thing, right? He's the throwing leader. Like, he's thrown for most passing yards of the season. Now, again...
Yeah, but his rating's not there, though, is it? Because he's throwing yards in garbage time. He's still giving the ball away.
I was just about to say that, but you look at his QBR. His QBR is 72.8. Jalen's is 54.6. That's all I'm going to... There's a stat on that. Like, quarterback rating is 0.3 difference between Hurts and Prescott. I'm not saying that now. Initially, at the start of the season, I was going Dak Prescott MVP because without him, the Cowboys would have been 0-17. But now, I'm not saying that level. But you have to respect the fact that he's thrown for nearly 4,000 yards. He's thrown for, 26 touchdowns? The biggest problem is 10 interceptions. That's
how
been
many of them are in garbage time, though? Like,
but they're not...
And he's still not going to win a record. Bad.
I don't think they... I genuinely don't think they've been been that much garbage time this year. Maybe they've scored a few more points to make things respectable, but it's the defence that's put them in that position.
Yeah, it is. The defence is a bigger problem than the offence, but if you want a quarterback to lead your team, he would be very low on the list of starting quarterbacks for me. Like,
I agree.
When it comes down to it and when it matters, he's not going to do it.
I agree. I'm not debating that. I don't think that he's...
Again, this Sunday, he will not do it and the Chargers will win.
Dallas, by the way, is -2.5 at home.
I'll just take money line on the Chargers. I don't even want the spread. Like, give me the better on this line.
The over-under's 49.5, and I think that flight... I think he could fly over, to be fair, because I'm not sold on the Chargers defense.
Is decent.
I'm not sold on them though. But I agree with you, by the way. I'm not, but this isn't me going in a roundabout way of saying I'm picking the Cowboys. I'm not. The Chargers will win this game. But I think it could be another offensive shootout just because that defense can't stop a cold. And I've got Herbert starting for me on Sunday. So 40 points, please, Justin. 40 points.
Do not hand it off. Just keep
No runs allowed.
He will hand it off a lot though, because they always do. And because Hampton will do the job when you need him to.
Hmm. Well, let's move on to the later slate. Really, four games that I think mostly quite, you know, favorited. You know, I think certainly, you know, Detroit Lions hosting Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going for the Lions. Texans against Raiders. I'm going for the Texans. I think there's two games there that I think for me are quite easy to pick. And then you've got Broncos hosting the Jags, and you've got the Cardinals hosting the Falcons. Now, you know, Falcons. Cardinals is actually, you know, probably the most, you know, I think, Broncos Jags is the hardest one to predict. And I think that's probably the highlight of the four games. And I think that is one where you could easily see either team winning it. I think purely by just having the slightly better, or I say much better defense, the Broncos defense for me is one of the best, if not the best defense in the league. And I think at home, a mile high with that altitude, I think that personally, that will give the Broncos the edge. And I think Cardinals-Falcons, I'm going to give the edge to the Falcons just because of what I saw against the Bucks. And I know I've criticised the Bucks early on in the episode, but I just feel like there's still enough players there. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, you know, Kirk Cousins on his day, which these days is very often. But I think I just don't see why. I don't see anything from this Cardinals team that makes me think they're going to win any games. Brissett's been fine, okay, but I don't think I've looked at him and gone, he's a guy that's going to be the starter next year. And, you know, with James Conner injured, McBride's the only real bright spark in that offense right now.
I was going to say, that's the one thing where I think they can win this year. Trey McBride is the best player in at his position right now.
I mean, I'll always rate Bowers over McBride.
It's not a bad argument, but.
But also as well, by the way, you've got to respect what Michael Wilson's doing in that offense as well with Marvin Harrison out. He's been on the charge since then.
They do keep losing games though, but I think this is one where they actually get over the line. I think Arizona wins.
I agree.
Because this I think the Falcons are bobbins. Like, they are really good.
This is the most track game of all track games. By the way, again, tickets. If you want to go and you're listening, $11 if you're going here in Arizona this weekend.
If you want to go, they'll buy you 2 pints, a hot dog, and give you your seat.
Atlanta's minus three on this. Again, absolutely 100% give you the Cardinals money line on that. A 48.5 over under, I think, is far too high. I still think the Cardinals do it. I do like McBride. I think he's absolutely outstanding. I do like Michael Wilson and what they're doing. And Brissett has been better than Kyler could ever be, really.
I don't agree with that. But
I've never rated Kyler.
But Brissett is serviceable as a backup, but he will do a job.
No.
The rest of the games for me, like Denver, Jacksonville, I know the Jags have been good this year, but it at Mile High, I'm not even putting it as close. I think Jacksonville are not going to be able to rock up into Denver and win that one.
T-Law's going to go into the cold. No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Houston beat Las Vegas. That's just done. You might as well not even play it. There's no point.
Just to say quickly, mate. Sorry.
Beat the Steelers as well.
Sorry, mate. I do apologize for interrupting. I was just going to say about Houston. You mentioned the best defense in the league. This is it.
Yeah.
This Houston Texans defense is the best defense in the league. And I'm not joking to you. If they go on and get into that wild card, good luck, everyone.
Anything could happen.
Because they have a real shot. I mean, they are the seventh seed and they would have to go at the moment to the Patriots. But I'd back the Houston Texans over the New England Patriots every single day of the week now. Because Stroud's getting back into that level on the offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball. Nico Collins in particular.
He's got to go and play in the cold and the horribleness, though. That's the only.
They do, and we all know that the game will be at 4:35 Eastern on a Saturday because that is how it works. It's the Houston Texans time slot. But that defense is outstanding.
It's absolutely legit. Yeah,
outstanding. I agree with you around Denver. T-Law going up to the cold, just not happening. The over-under on that, by the way, 46.5. That is the one that I will be backing the under on any day of the week. 51.5, by the way, for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Detroit Lions.
I'd be going under on that as well. I don't like an under, but I don't think that goes over either.
No, I agree. Aaron Rodgers, though.
No.
He owns the Lions, doesn't he?
Jahmyr Gibbs rather than Aaron Rodgers. That's the pick.
Well, to be fair, it's Alvin Kamara, isn't it, at the moment? Because I think the Steelers' defense has actually been pretty decent against the run. And Jahmyr Gibbs recently, I know he's been popping off. But
he didn't really use him a lot this week, but...
No.
But that just means they will use him a lot next week. It's the way that it works.
That is how it works. Goff, obviously, is third on the passing charts, nearly 3,700 yards. And like I said, I quite like that Steelers defense. I saw them, obviously, in Dublin. I appreciate it. So that feels like a lifetime ago now since that game. But I do quite like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. They are obviously fifth in the sack column as well this season. So just want to point out there. Again, there's something about the Lions this year where I'm just not sold on in the big moments. And certainly if this is at Heinz Field, at Acrisure Stadium, sorry, there you go. There's a Freudian slip. I will be back in the Steelers 100% of the week, every day of the week. I just have a feeling that what are they now? 7-6, I think.
I think they're both 8-6.
So Tomlin only needs to win one more to get the 9-8 Super Bowl.
That's true. he never goes more than one above 50.
Yeah. All right. Fine. I'll go with the Lions, but -7 on the line, I'd take the Steelers to cover that, I think.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for the Lions, I do have the opinion that I don't think it's talked about enough. Jared Goff in every big moment always crumbles. You think about, he made a Super Bowl, not really being a reason why they won the game, and got lucky through one of the worst missed calls in history. And Super Bowl itself, an awful performance in the Rams on offense, and he was the quarterback in that game. You think about the NFC Championship game, the way he allowed that to get out of hand and now come back from the Niners, and then what happened a year later when they were the home team against your Commanders, Jared. Although they put up 30 points, but Jared Goff, I love the guy. I love him as a person. I think in a regular season, I think for a lot of times he's pretty good, but there's a lot of quarterbacks who are like this. They're good in the regular season. When it gets to the playoffs, different story. And I think on the flip side, that's why I have a lot of faith in the Texans, because Stroud, has had his moments, sacked a lot last season, took a while to get into this year. But whenever I've seen him in a big playoff game, he's been good. He got that win in his rookie year in the playoffs. And both their losses, particularly the one against the Chiefs last season, he was not the reason why they lost that game. There was a lot of mistakes from other players. There was fumbled recoveries. There was fumbled catches. And I think Stroud did all he could to try and win that game. And I think, I said this in the episode recently. I've seen teams win Super Bowls with average quarterbacks and good defenses, but I've never seen a team.
2018.
Yeah, but I've never seen.
Are we going to get him? I thought I might try and get a late night nibble there.
But I've never seen a team win a Super Bowl with a bad defense, and I think if you've got a good defense, you're halfway there. And I think Stroud is way more than an average quarterback. I think he's a really good quarterback. And I think in the big moments, I think he finds a way to get it done. Now, obviously, teams he's beaten have been, it was the Chargers and the Browns, and no one special. But I think I've seen Stroud do it more in a playoff game than Tua's done, than Darnold's done. Then you could argue Goff in some way, performance-wise.
Prescott.
There's a lot of quarterbacks who haven't won any many playoff games. And they have won playoff games. They haven't been the reason why they won. But Stroud, for me, I think is brilliant. And I think his Texans team certainly, I think, would beat who's going to be the fourth seed. It's going to be the fourth seed? They haven't started. But anyway, I think there's a lot of teams, on their day, they could beat the Patriots. I think on their day, they wouldn't beat the Broncos, but I think they could beat.
Oh, I think they can.
I think the Jaguars they beat. I think the Chargers they beat. And I think looking elsewhere, I think Ravens or Steelers, whoever makes that,
if we're winning that division, I think they lose to the Texans as well. So I think really, it's only really for me, the Broncos and maybe the Bills if it's in high mark. But
the Broncos are not all that.
As well.
The Broncos are not all that. They are.
It's probably 3-0, but like,
it won't be a good game, but I tell you right now, even if you do have to go up to Mile High and do it, I can guarantee you right now that I'd have the Texans' favourite over the Broncos. The Broncos are not legit. They are not. They're that offense is not good enough.
They still don't trust Bo Nix to throw it more than 3 yards.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I think their defense in a year which it is open for any kind of for a team to win it and to not ever do it again. And I think, you know, we're due a Trent Dilfer year. We are due a Trent Dilfer year. We haven't had really that since maybe Joe Flacco. I think we are due a Trent Dilfer year. So for me, I think even if he plays badly, I just backed his defense and a Sean Payton led offense and team overall.
But what does Payton do though? Payton always, it's so often with him, you know, the Saints were always the bridesmaids, never the bride. Yes, they won the Super Bowl in 2010, and I get that, but there's so many opportunities for him and Breece to get to another Super Bowl that they absolutely bombed. I don't trust him. Just overthinks it,
at times, and he's another one of those that, a bit like McVay, is similar as well for me, that try and do too much rather than just doing what they need to do.
There's honestly, right now in the playoff picture, there's no team in the AFC that I'd go, yeah, bang on. Like, I know I've been shouting about the Texans, but I still don't think their offense is gelling that well all the time. There's no team in the AFC that I could completely go, they will win every single game. And as I said before, if the Rams beat the Seahawks on Thursday night, then I agree with you, Andy, that they will be the preeminent favorite to win the Super Bowl.
I agree. I was saying previously that I think the NFC beats the AFC in a Super Bowl, no matter who's
100%.
There.
100%. Whoever comes out.
I think the one team maybe would be maybe the Bucks or Panthers, but I think certainly Eagles, Rams, who else? Bears, Packers, on their day, the Niners. I think they beat most teams. I think the Bills, if you've got Josh Allen, you've always got a chance. I think Josh Allen could become... They could win that Super Bowl maybe like 40-38. I think Josh Allen could turn to Superman. I think, you know, that would mean
the Bills have to get to a Super Bowl. And we know that the football clubs don't allow that.
They've got to get past the AFC Championship yet.
Well, the one team they can't beat isn't in it.
That's true. It might be a gift this time, yeah.
Yeah. I think I had a great quote from a Man City fan when they were teasing him about losing the FA Cup final to Man U, and it was something like his name was Steve, Man City fan, big on social media, and he was saying something like, I'll put the quote now on the videos on the podcast, so because I actually can't remember, something about it was a great quote about basically giving them one when you've won so many, but I can't remember what the phrase was. I have to try and find it and put it on the podcast feed, because I'll send it to you boys after the episode. But
have you recovered, Steve?
Yeah, happy. Great season.
Happy with what, losing the FA Cup final? Or?
Oh no, like, listen, I said it before, you know.
what are you happy about? Well,
sometimes you've got to give your neighbours a bottle of milk when your fridge is full.
Yeah, it was, I think, you know, even Tom Brady didn't win it every year. And I think this could be exactly like Manning against Brady. You know, Josh Allen constantly lost to Tom Brady. But then one year Manning won it. And I think this could be the one year when Josh Allen actually does it. We'll move on though to our later slate. We've got Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. First up, Sunday Night Football, we've got the Ravens hosting the Patriots. Cam, who wins it for you?
Give me the upset here.
Oh, here we go.
The Ravens stay alive in the playoff picture.
Really?
Yeah. I just think the defense looked good last week. I know it, like, up against the Bengals, and the Bengals aren't at the best by any means, but the offense is still decent. And I thought the Ravens just clicked a little bit, and there's a lot on the line for them. Like, the Patriots are making the playoffs regardless. And I just think that little edge of, we are playing for our season every single week here, they nicked this one.
Interesting. I love it. I'm here for it. And I do think, in a way, when you're going into a game when you've got in your mind that you could be winning the division and you've got, you know, you're getting all the hats and the t-shirts ready and then you don't win it, I think there's definitely a world where, you know, that could affect you mentally, where you're sort of in that mode of winning and you don't win it. How do you react to that? And this Ravens team in Baltimore as well. And I think going to play the Ravens away from home in a night game, I think it's one of the hardest places to go. I think Philly's the same thing. I think that you see the sea of purple, and I think the fans are loud. And I think it'll be a tough game for Drake May and the Patriots team. But I'm going for the Patriots to win. I just think that this Ravens team is too inconsistent. And I think, the Patriots lost to the Bills, but I know it's been an easy schedule, but they have won 10 in a row. So I can see it winning. I don't think it would be as pretty as maybe it would have been if they hadn't lost to the Bills, but I still think the Patriots get it. And I think the Ravens are just far too inconsistent for me.
Are you just saying that just as my reverse jinx that I'm doing? Is that what you're doing?
It's like Sophie's Choice. Either way, I'm seeing the team I don't like winning it. So either way, it's like, it's at this point, like, I don't really care who wins it because I don't want either team winning it. Maybe the Pats, because I've seen the Pats win it, whereas I've never seen the Bills win a Super Bowl. And that kind of is the one thing we have over the Bills. It's the fact that, you know, we've won a Super Bowl and they haven't. If they win a Super Bowl, then we can't ever tease them ever again. So maybe the Patriots I want to win just about in the AFCs. But also I want it to be the Broncos or Texans winning that AFC. I don't want to see a Josh Allen or Drake May lifting that Lamar Hunt trophy. Absolutely no way.
So here is here's the thing. I want to say the Ravens win this game, right? But I want to come back to 2020, the 2020 playoffs. Mike Vrabel going into Baltimore and absolutely tearing Lamar Jackson apart. And how did he do that? He had a good quarterback at the time in Ryan Tannehill. He had a fecking beast in Derrick Henry. And Trevion Henderson finally is starting to break it.
Breaking out, isn't he? Well, he's broken out.
I'm not saying he's King Henry level. And again, ironically, of course, Vrabel is playing against King Henry this time. But I just think that Vrabel has Lamar's number. Run the football, control the time of possession, keep Lamar on the sideline. And I still maintain this until such time as he does it. Lamar Jackson has come up short in every big moment that I've ever seen from him.
But that's usually in the playoff. Regular season, he's good.
Yeah, but it's the big, but this is basically a playoff game now. You're fighting for your life.
I get that. But
so Baltimore's line,
and then he'll balls it up once he gets there.
Baltimore favored by -3, which is about what you get. Obviously, that's what you get for a home game.
Basically,
anyway.
a whole team game.
It's a pick'em game. I quite like the Ravens and I quite like the Patriots in this. This is where I'm going. And can I just say as a side note, for Sunday night and Monday night football, it's going to be great to be able to watch it at a civilized time. Can't wait.
What, at midnight?
He's
got the advantage of being in America
on United States time, on Eastern Standard Time. I can't wait.
That's going to be great. I remember as well when I watched a primetime game in the West Coast, and it was on at like 5 p.m.
in the afternoon.
Amazing. Like, so good, so good. Our final game has been a bit ruined by the injury to Daniel Jones, because if you'd set this game a month ago, you know, Colts 8-2 against the Niners. I can't think what they were at that point when they went to Berlin.
They were 6-4, weren't they, I think?
They've both gone the complete opposite way since then.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that would be such an exciting prospect. But now Colts are free-falling. They look better than I thought they would under Rivers, but there's
you're not sold on Philip Rivers at quarterback.
I think they were bang average, and quite rightly now they're getting found out. Jonathan Taylor's getting stuffed, and that's it. Job done.
I agree totally. That's what I was always saying. Even when they were riding high 7-1, I always said that they were pretenders. And I think that Rivers, there was points in that game where he looked.
I just can't get my head around the fact of dragging a man off the bench, not even off the bench, off like the retirement.
He's brought out of retirement days
and thinking he's still going to be able to play quarterback at a decent level. There are much better players as backups on teams right now, or that are not even like Taylor Heinicke would have been a better free agent pickup than Philip Rivers.
Was it Nick Sudfeld that you had?
Studfeld. Yeah. Yeah, Nick Sudfeld. Either of those two would have been a better pickup.
Who was the guy that came in the championship game? Who was the guy? For you last year?
Tanner McKee.
That's it. Get him in.
World class, mate. He came into the game against the Raiders on Sunday and just went 3 from 3, and he does what he wants.
Yeah, I think there was one play particularly where he stumbled around and you could just tell he was old.
Throwing of the ball, like, he doesn't have that velocity anymore. It's not there. It looks like it's coming out so slowly out of his hand.
The thing is, he didn't have it 5 years ago. He lost it when he was playing.
Well, exactly. That's why he went off into the sunset.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's got, fair play.
I assume he's had like 9 more kids and he wanted to get paid again. I'm not sure.
Oh my god! I mean, yeah, it must have been just. Imagine just watching your teacher at school playing in the NFL. Trying to picture my teachers at school. Trying to picture them playing. I remember there was one guy who, teacher of ours, who played in some like rugby game that was on TV, but it was like Welsh third division rugby. You know, but it was on TV in a very niche channel. But like to see your teacher literally playing in an NFL game in week 15 of the season, but insane. But fair play to him. You know, he's forfeited his chance of being in the Hall of Fame this year, which I think he would have done. Had he not retired. I think he's sacrificed his own personal achievements for a team. So I've got to give him credit.
For him, it's an opportunity on a good roster to go and have a go. But Christian McCaffrey runs all over him this week, and they get absolutely battered.
Yeah, I think that defense as well. I think it's a very well coached team. No other team could have this many injuries and win games like the Niners. It's a really good organization, really well run. And I think that even if Jones was playing, I would still back the Niners because I think the Colts have been free-falling massively. Jarvis put nail on the head. You know, you stop Taylor, you stop this Colts offense. And I think we've seen his yardage decrease massively in the last few weeks because of that reason, because they found a way to stop the Colts.
There is no jeopardy anywhere else now. Like, you weren't able to just stack the box and stop him before. But now you can because you know that you weren't getting beat with it with Rivers' arm.
Final point on the Niners, by the way. And I won't be here with you for 17 and week 18. What an end to the season they got. Versus the Bears, versus the Seahawks. Two games
rough at
Levi's when they're trying to go for a home Super Bowl as well.
Think how bad it looked though 4 weeks ago as well when the Colts were flying high. It looked awful at that point.
Niners are doing well, man. I think they can win out. They really do, and they could potentially still pick the Rams and the Seahawks to the division. The whole playoff could go through Levi's Stadium, of course.
It wouldn't shock me if that was the case.
Don't ruin everything for me. I just don't like them. I never have, and I never will. They're a bad franchise.
Fair enough.
They've got a massive like chip on the shoulder, think they're better than they are, and realistically they win nothing most of the time and they rock up into Philly and get slapped every time. So.
Tell us how you really feel, love.
I don't know, it goes back to the playoff game back in 2018 when they got played off the park at Lincoln Financial Field, and then all the players just started trying to injure our players because they're bad losers. So F them, basically.
Well, there we are. That is the end of our prediction. So in total, we've all gone for wins for the Eagles, the Bears, the Bills, Chargers, Saints, Vikings, Broncos, Lions, Texans and Niners. Whereas we've gone for in total 6 games with different outcome predictions. So in Rams, Seahawks, myself and Cam went for the Seahawks and Jarlath went for the Rams. With me and Jarlath went for the Dolphins to win against the Bengals, whereas Wait, did you have, you went for the Bengals, didn't you, Jared?
Not oh, it was me. Yeah, I had the Dolphins.
So apologies. Yeah, so yeah, you had Dolphins. Me and Jared had the Bengals. That's right.
No, I had Dolphins to win.
Oh, you did? Oh my God! It's that kind of time.
It's all one to pee.
You had the Bengals. You had the Bengals to win.
That's right. Yeah, so I had the Bengals, and Jared and Cam had the Dolphins. Bucks, Panthers. I had the Panthers, as did Jared, whereas Cam went for the Buccaneers. In Titans against Chiefs, both Cam and Jared went for the Chiefs. I went for the Titans. And also Jared and Cam both went for the Cardinals to beat the Falcons. I went for win for the Cardinals. And then finally, on Sunday Night Football, Cam went for win for the Ravens, whereas Jared and myself went for win for the Pats. But there we are. That is our Week 16 preview. First of all, boys, first of all, Cam, thank you for coming on.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me. It was good fun to sneak that up on Jarlath at the last minute.
Wow. I'm so glad it went well, because I've been planning it the whole season pretty much. And then sort of I had a brainwave about week 10 thinking...
Yeah, you messaged me a while ago now, so it's been building up to it for a little bit as well. So it was good fun, that.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Andy. Always a pleasure to see you. Cam, yeah. No, always pleasure seeing you.
I look forward to a good few months of it next year, as always, on the T20 Blast podcast. Let's get that in there at the end.
Oh, let's get the plug in. Absolutely. Yeah, if you are a fan of cricket and if you are listening to the show, then yeah, do head over to the T20 Blast podcast. Not only do you get podcasts on podcast platforms, not only do you get social media content on Instagram, Twitter, but you also get content they do at games in the media credentials. So yeah, if you like cricket, that is definitely the podcast for you. But in the meantime, this has been the Across the Pod NFL podcast, our week 16 preview, with, as ever, your guest today, myself, Andy Davis, and two members of the T20 Blast podcast, in Commanders fan Jarlath Eaton, Eagles fan Cam McFarlane, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.